Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 2nd chapter, verses 1 to 33. Verse 1. Shri Shukuvacha Asikiri Varoraja Stikuta Iti Vishita Shiro Denavta Shiman Yojana Yutam Uchita. Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, there is a very large mountain called Chikut. It is 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles high, being surrounded by the ocean of milk. It is very beautifully situated." Mukam makarati vachalam pangam langkaya jayami yati pantamaham vande shri gurum pirachayam om gyana chimarandasya gyananjala shagakaya So what do you remember from yesterday's class, first chapter? Madhvanipuri.
So there's a few other manus we heard about.
We heard about some new manus. Yes.
Madhvanipuri was basically running the show from the third canto to the
seventh canto. Third to seventh canto was Svayambhuva Manu.
And then we heard of Sarvachisha, second one.
Swarachisa.
Then Uttama.
Uttama.
And Tamasa.
Tamasa.
They were both sons of Priyavita.
Okay.
And also we heard of their respective entourage.
Yes, their entourage.
Their own sons and
demigods.
Demigods.
Rishis. They come with them. Okay, what else? Anything else we heard? Yes, Jainitai.
Sarvamano went, left the kingdom and went to the forest.
He went to the forest.
Standing on one, with his wife standing.
Standing on one leg.
And reciting very nice prayers.
Reciting prayers. From where?
From
Upanishads. Yes. Yes. Close.
And then just the vultures are about to attack.
Rakshasas. Rakshasas are going to attack. Yes. Well, yes, Adipurush. Should not renounce all of a sudden. He shows the gradual path of liberation, starting with Karma Yoga. Yes, he was giving instructions that you should follow Karma Yoga, and then it's a gradual path. Because he's Manu, he's teaching mankind how to live their lives. And it's based on which book besides Manu Samhita? Where is Bhagavad Gita? Yes, based on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is taught to the Manus, and they write Manu Samhita, and then it's passed down to all the Rajarshis. Anything else from chapter 1? Yes. Acha, he's an incarnation of the Lord. The Manus are incarnations. Akuti's son? Yagyapati. Okay, yes. With every Manu, in every Manu, there are also incarnations of the Lord which come. So we heard about the two incarnations, Svayambhuva Manu, there was Kapiladev, and also Yagyapati now is coming. In the second, seems to be in the second Manu. He saved Svayambhuva Manu from the Rakshasas. Yes. And he took the post of Indra. Oh, he's in the first Manu. Yagya is in the first, or is he in the second? I forgot. First Manu, okay. He became Indra in the first Manmantara. Okay. Yes.
We heard that the Lord is the creator, not created. He's not created.
Lord is the creator, not created. Yes, he's eternally called Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam, cause of all causes. He is eternally existing. Okay, so in the summary, from Prabhupada's summary, the first paragraph of the summary, again there's a nice paragraph. Prabhupada says, the second, third, and fourth chapters of this canto describe how the Lord, during the reign of the fourth Manu, gave protection to the king of the elephants. As described in the second chapter, when the king of the elephants, along with his female elephants, was enjoying in the water, a crocodile suddenly attacked him, and the elephants surrendered to the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead for protection. So in the first verse, it's describing a very wonderful mountain called Trikut. Where is this Trikut mountain? Does anybody know? Yes?
I thought it should be on one of the islands of Bhumandala.
Yes.
I think the ocean of milk.
There is an ocean of milk.
Krauncha.
Yeah. There is an ocean of milk in Bhumandala, so it's quite possibly in Bhumandala. And that's what Sadaputta comes to that conclusion, that it's one of the geographical features of Bhumandala, according to Sadaputta in his Vedic cosmology. But there are also other references. There's another reference from 5th canto, which describes that around the foot of Mount Meru, there is also another mountain called Trikut, or maybe it's the same one, because foot can extend maybe quite a while. It could be one of those foothills. It's a foothill compared to Meru. Actually, it is. It's a small mountain, only 80,000. How big is Meru? I forgot. Anybody remember? It's quite larger than this mountain. This is only 80,000 miles, 10,000 yojanas. I think that one's more like 100,000 or something like that. And so it's a foothill, just 10,000 yojanas high. But there is another Trikut in Bhartvarsh. And in the 5th canto, 19th chapter, there's a Trikut also in Bhartvarsh. So obviously this Trikut is not the one that's in Bhartvarsh. But does anybody know where that Trikut is in Bhartvarsh? Bhartvarsha. And it is Sri Lanka. From the Ramayana, there's a reference that when Hanuman saw a large island, he was flying over the ocean, appeared like a mass of clouds on the horizon. As he came closer, he saw the shore of Lanka, skirted by forests and high mountains. And flying over the island, he came upon the city of Lanka, which was perched on the summit of Trikut Mountain. So there's another Trikut for you. And Sadaputta makes an interesting comment about Trikut Mountain and Bhumandala. He says that actually previously this whole Bhumandala was called the Earth. So it was quite an extensive version of the Earth. And like in Satya Yuga, the people, they could perceive all the way through the whole Bhumandala. They had that amount of perception. But right now, only a very small portion of this big, big Earth, Bhumandala, is perceptible to the limited senses of modern-day human beings. So in Maharaj Yudhisthira's time, at the end of Dwarapa Yuga, they could see the whole Jambudvipa. The whole Jambudvipa was actually accessible to the human beings. In Dhruva Maharaj's time, Priyavrata's time, they had access to the whole of Bhumandala. And it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Lord Chaitanya was born at his birth, then there were many people coming from all the dweeps of Bhumandala and visiting his house disguised as human beings. So this is just to get our geography correct. We are at Trikut now and Bhumandala, it seems. And now we'll go on and hear the descriptions of what it's like. The length and breadth of the mountain are of the same measurement, 80,000 miles. Its three principal peaks, which are made of iron, silver, and gold, beautify all directions and the sky. The mountain also has other peaks, which are full of jewels and minerals and are decorated with nice trees, creepers, and shrubs. The sounds of the waterfalls on the mountain create a pleasing vibration. In this way, the mountain stands, increasing the beauty of all directions. Verse 4, the ground at the foot of the mountain is always washed by waves of milk that produce emeralds all around in the eight directions, north, south, east, west, and directions midway between them. So in the middle of the purport, here's Prabhupada's chance to get at the scientists again, who will never accept any of these statements. If you tell them it is like this, they will say, oh, this is mythology. So Prabhupada says in reply, The modern scientists who have only limited experience cannot defy these statements. They cannot give us full information about any planet, even the planet on which we live. From this verse, however, we can understand that if the valleys of some mountains are washed with milk, this produces emeralds. No one has the ability to imitate the activities of material nature as conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is, who goes to these places are very pious living entities who have done great pious activities in this life, and also fallen devotees may go there to these places, these heavenly places. Verse 5. The inhabitants of the higher planets, Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Siddhartas, serpents, Kinnaras, and Apsaras, go to that mountain to sport, thus all the caves of the mountain are full of these denizens of the heavenly planets. So Srila Prabhupada says, as ordinary men may play in the salty ocean, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems go to the ocean of milk. They float in the ocean of milk and also enjoy various sports within the caves of Trikut Mountain. So if you go to the heavenly planets in your next life, you can go and sport in the ocean of milk. But hopefully we won't make that stop. We'll go straight back to Godhead. But in case you're wondering what it's like, now we have the idea, so you don't have to go there next life. You can just see, we can experience by hearing. Don't have to go and float in the ocean of milk. You don't have to go there. Verse 6. Because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions there, being very proud of their strength, roar with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way. Purport. In the higher planetary systems, there are not only different types of human beings, but also animals like lions and elephants. There are trees, and the land is made of emeralds. Such is the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung in this regard, Keshav, tua jagat vichitra. My Lord Keshav, your creation is colorful and full of varieties. Geologists, botanists, and other so-called scientists speculate about other planetary systems. By being unable to estimate the varieties on other planets, they falsely imagine that all planets but this one are vacant, uninhabited, and full of dust. Although they cannot even estimate the varieties existing throughout the universe, they are very proud of their knowledge, and they are accepted as learned by persons of a similar caliber. And guess who these people, what is this caliber of the scientist? Prabhupada quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sravid vara hostra karai. Purusha pashu, animals. This is their caliber. So what do they say about the other, what do they say about Mars and the moon? And they say the moon is too cold?
It's all vacant.
It's vacant. Nothing's there. No trees,
but
no. They're sending bombs, of course.
Probes,
yes. Probes.
Are so.
I really don't know. Cannot say. They're saying they're going to Mars. Yes. Who knows? Who knows? Prabhupada didn't have much faith in what they said. Didn't have much faith. If they can cheat you in one thing, they can cheat you in other things too. So they don't know. So they say, okay, nothing's there. They do say they get radio waves, I think, from here and there, right? From different places. Radio waves. Anyway, so Prabhupada gives an example of, he was talking to Hayagriva, and he mentioned this Trikut Mountain, and he said the demigods, they were standing in the water, and it was knee-deep in the ocean for the demigods. So it wasn't very deep for them. And he said that he was talking about the three peaks, one silver, one gold, and one iron. And he asked Hayagriva, so who can manufacture such gold? He says, even you can so-called manufacture little gold, but you can't manufacture the peak of gold. So this is what was going on. Trikut Mountain, verse 7. The valleys beneath Trikut Mountain are beautifully decorated by many varieties of jungle animals, and in the trees which are maintained in gardens by the demigods, varieties of birds chirp with voices. Verse 8. Chikut Mountain has many lakes and rivers with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal, and when the demigod damsels bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water and the breeze, thus enriching the atmosphere. So Prabhupada compares the bodies of the demigod ladies to our bodies. Purport. Even in the material world, there are many grades of living entities. Human beings on earth generally cover themselves with external fragrances to stop their bad bodily odors. But here we find, because of the bodily fragrance of the demigod damsels, the rivers, lakes, the breeze, entire atmosphere of Chikut Mountain also become fragrant. Since the bodies of the damsels in the upper planetary systems are so beautiful, we can just imagine how beautifully formed are the bodies of the Vaikuntha damsels or damsels in Vrindavan, the gopis. So now we'll read a description of all the trees and flowers on this mountain. Verse 9 to 13. In a valley of Chikut Mountain, there was a garden called Ritumat. This garden belonged to the great devotee Varuna and was a sporting place for the damsels of the demigods. Flowers and fruits grew there in all seasons. Among them were mandaras, parijats, patal, ashok, champak, chuta, piala, panasa, mangoes, amratakas, karmukas, coconut trees, date trees, and pomegranates, madukas, palm trees, tamals, asanas, arjunas, arishtas, udumbaras, plakshas, banyan trees, kimshukas, and sandalwood trees. Also, pichumaras, kovidaras, sharalas, saradaras, grapes, sugarcane, bananas, jambu, bari, akshas, abhayas, and amalakis. So if you want to see those fruits, you have to go to Chikut Mountain. Next. In that garden, there was a very large lake filled with shining golden lotus flowers and flowers known as Kumuda, Kalara, Utpala, Shatapatra, which added excellent beauty to the mountain. There were also Bilva, Kapita, Jambir, Bhala, Paka trees. Intoxicated bumblebees drank honey and hummed with the chirping of the birds whose songs were very melodious. The lake was crowded with swans, karandavas, chakravakas, cranes and flocks of water chickens, dat yuhas, koyashtis, and other murmuring birds. Because of the agitating movements of the fish and tortoises, the water was decorated with pollen that had fallen from the lotus flowers. The lake was surrounded by kadamba flowers, vetasa flowers, nalas, nipas, vanjulakas, kundas, kurubakas, ashoks, shirisas, kutajas, ingudas, kubjakas, swarnayutis, nagas, punagas, jatis, malikas, shatapachas, jalakas, and madhavi, latas. The banks were also abundantly adorned with varieties of trees that yielded flowers and fruits in all seasons. Thus the entire mountain stood gloriously decorated. So purport. Judging from the exhaustive description, exhausting, of the lakes and rivers on Chikut Mountain, on earth there is no comparison to their super excellence. On other planets, however, there are many such wonders. For instance, we understand there are 2 million different types of trees, and not all of them are exhibited on earth. Srimad Bhagavatam presents the total knowledge of the affairs of the universe. It not only describes this universe, but also takes into account the spiritual world beyond the universe. No one can challenge Srimad Bhagavatam's descriptions of the material and spiritual worlds. The attempts to go from the earth to the moon have failed, but the people of earth can understand what exists on other planets. There is no need of imagination. One may take actual knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and be satisfied. So here we have the ultimate geography book. We have the geography of the whole universe. It's being described, the higher planets, and the scientists can take advantage if they like. Srila Prabhupada is inviting them. No need of imagination. You can take knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and be satisfied. So there is one, actually out of all these different flowers, there's one that struck my attention, and that is Shataputra. Shataputra. This flower, this lotus flower is available in, where's that place where Bhakti Swarup Damodar comes from? Manipur. Manipur. It's a lotus flower that has 100 petals. 100 petal lotus flower. 108, actually. 108 lotus petals on one lotus. So, Maharaj, when Srila Prabhupada was here, Srub Damodar Maharaj used to bring these lotus flowers for Srila Prabhupada down. He would fly on the airplane from Manipur and he would bring 100 petal lotus flowers. I was a pujari in Calcutta. He gave some for the deities and then he gave some for Srila Prabhupada. Pink, they were pink, yes. Very, very beautiful lotus flowers, 108 petals. So some of these are still available in the Himalayas. And if you go to Manipur, you can see they are still there. I heard when they were glorifying Srub Damodar Maharaj that they have these 100 petal lotus flowers, Shatapatra. So this is, yes, in the Himalayas there are some heavenly places also, heavenly places, which resemble the heavenly planets. So we can even go today and see some of these lotus flowers in Manipur. Verse 20. The leader of the elephants who lived in the forest of the mountain Trikut once wandered toward the lake with his female elephants. He broke many plants, creepers, thickets, and trees, not caring for their piercing thorns. Simply by catching scent of that elephant, all the other elephants, tigers, and other ferocious animals, such as lions, rhinoceros, great serpents, and black and white sarabas, fled in fear. But Chamari deer also fled. What's a saraba? Is that a cow? Saraba? Wild cow? Sort of a cow? They have in the Himalayas, they have some kind of cow in the Himalayas with long, long hair. Also, maybe like a yak. But, oh, it's a deer, saraba. Half cow, is it like the blue cow or? Eight legs. Stronger than a lion. Okay. That's why they call it, it's called a ferocious animal. Ferocious animal, saraba. Eight-legged deer, more ferocious than a lion. Okay, verse 22. By the mercy of this elephant, animals like the foxes, wolves, buffaloes, bears, boars, gopuchas, porcupines, monkeys, rabbits, the other deer, and many other small animals loitered elsewhere in the forest. They were not afraid of him. Purport. All the animals were practically controlled by this elephant. Yet although they could move without fear, because of respect, they did not stand before him. So even in the jungle, there is a hierarchy with the animals. They know. Although they were not afraid of him, still they did not go in front of him. Verse 23 and 24. Surrounded by the herds, other elephants, including females, and followed by the young ones, Gajapati, leader of the elephants, made Trikut Mountain tremble all around because of the weight of his body. He was perspiring. Liquor dripped from his mouth, and his vision was overwhelmed by intoxication. He was being served by bumblebees who drank honey. And from a distance, he could smell the dust of the lotus flowers, which was carried from the lake by the breeze. Thus surrounded by his associates, who were afflicted by thirst, he soon arrived at the bank of the lake. So what? How is he served by the bumblebees? That question came to my mind. How is the elephant served by the bumblebees? Yes? Oh, they were cleaning his mouth for him by drinking, yes? Liquor? There were small fans for the elephant. Yes. Why not? They were serving the king of the elephants. Maybe they were singing for him also. They were singing, humming nice songs for the elephant. Yes? Oh, elephants like liquor, you know? Did you know that? No, it's liquor. He was drinking. He was drinking liquor. Not good, huh? No, they used to, in his description in Mahabharata also, the elephants in Hastinapur were always drunk. They were always drinking liquor and they were spraying the road and Yeah, they also were, they did some service. They were spraying the road and cleaning the road, and they were always intoxicated. Not only men get intoxicated, but also the elephants. Elephants get intoxicated. Says liquor. So let's see. We are in verse 25. King of the elephants entered the lake, bathed thoroughly, and was relieved of his fatigue. Then, with the aid of his trunk, he drank the cold, clear, nectarian water, which was mixed with the dust of lotus flowers and water lilies, until he was fully satisfied. Like a human being who lacks spiritual knowledge and is too attached to the members of his family, the elephant, being illusioned by the external energy of Krishna, had his wives and children bathe and drink the water. Indeed, he raised water from the lake with his trunk and sprayed it over them. He did not mind the hard labor involved in this endeavor. So now we're going to find out what happens to this elephant who is having such a good time in the lake with his wives and children and enjoying and drinking liquor and smelling the nice lotus flowers, just like a human being. By the arrangement of Providence, O King, a strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's leg in the water. The elephant was certainly strong, and he tried his best to get free from this danger sent by Providence. So Providence is always there, and we never know when something will happen to us like this, when we least expect it. So Providence, here is Providence. What is Providence actually? Yes. Krishna's will. Okay, very good. Daiva, Krishna's will. Anything else? Vaiprush?
Based on our actions.
Based on our actions. Okay, our karma. Yes.
Based on Kala.
Based on Kala. Kala, karma, Daiva, the Supreme Lord, Lord's will.
Fortune.
Yes, Providence, fortune. So, what makes fortune in this life? How do we get fortune? Good fortune. Everybody wants good fortune. Janamashtami?
Past pious activities.
Okay. Yes? Yeah, that's real fortune. If we meet a pure devotee, that's Bhagyavan Ajeev. Bhagyavan Ajeev, devotional service. This is all good fortune. Yes.
I did not talk about the scribes, three kinds of Sukriti.
Three kinds of Sukriti.
Bhakti and Mukhi Sukriti.
Bhakti and Mukhi Sukriti.
Nice activity is devotional service. Moksha and Mukhi Sukriti.
And Moksha Sukriti.
Leads to liberation.
And the other one, Karma.
Karma
on Mukhi. Okay. Boga. That is for material enjoyment, yes. So it's described the cowherd boys who were playing with Krishna. They had heaps of unlimited pious activities to get the opportunity to associate with Krishna. So that was which kind of Sukriti?
Bhakti
and Mukh. And a special kind of bhakti it was. I was hearing Burjan's tape. And he said it means they pleased Krishna. They did bhakti which pleased Krishna, unlimited bhakti which actually pleased Krishna, and that's why they got the opportunity to play with Krishna. So this is real fortune. This is real good fortune. Now here the elephant has got some bad fortune. Some reason or other. All of us, he had his faith. He was putting his faith in his family, his children, the nice, beautiful breeze and everything, but really we should put our faith in Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. So let's go on to the next verses, 27. By the arrangement of Providence, we read that. Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in that grave condition, his wives felt very, very sorry and began to cry. The other elephants wanted to help Gajendra, but because of the crocodile's great strength, they could not rescue him by grasping him from behind. So fallible soldiers, the wives couldn't help him, and even the other elephants couldn't help him. O King, the elephant and the crocodile fought in this way, pulling one another in and out of the water for 1,000 years. Upon seeing the fight, the demigods, were very surprised. So verse 30. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. So now we'll read this purport. We'll read the whole thing. It's a very famous purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food. And under the circumstances, his bodily strength diminished. Because his bodily strength diminished, his mind also became weak and his senses less powerful. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now, from this, now we get the lesson. We may take the lesson, in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. So that means we're all soldiers in Prabhupada's army. We've declared war against Maya. The soldiers in this Krishna conscious movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone. Therefore, there are divisions of vanashrama, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one take sannyas. Ashvamedam kavaram han sanyasam palapaitam devarenastot patim kalau panchavivartayet. From this we can understand in this age the sannyas ashram is forbidden because people are not strong. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years. But even Sarvam Bhattacharya advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. So Prabhupada, he gave sannyas to so many 20-year-olds, 21, 22, 23. And I'm one of my god sisters, she got married at 16 and her husband took sannyas when she was 18. So that was, and then of course she got married again later. But it was very difficult. But there was sannyas fever going on. So Prabhupada says, for preaching, we give young boys sannyas, but actually it is being experienced they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however, if one thinks he is unfit for sannyas. If he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely grihastha ashram. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we shall see Gajendra do, and at the same time, one can be a grihastha if he is satisfied with sexual indulgence. There is no need to give up the fight. And that was what Prabhupada was very upset when his disciples would fall from sannyas and then leave ISKCON. So he's preaching here that, okay, it's all right, you get married, but you stay. Stay in association of devotees. So this was what really upset him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended Stane Stita Shutikatam Tanvam Nobhi. One may stay in whichever ashram is suitable for him. It is not essential that one take sannyas. If one is sexually agitated, he can enter Grihastha ashram, but one must continue fighting. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter the Grihastha ashram and fight Maya with great strength. But one should not give up the fighting and go away. So over and over again, he's saying, it's okay, you can get married, but just don't give up the fight. So you should think twice before you take sannyas at the age of 20 or 25 or even 30 or 40. Now, I think they've raised the age of sannyas. I don't know what the rules are now, but I think it must be at least 50 to take sannyas. So this Prabhupada, when he wrote this purport, he was in Hawaii, and he got the news that one of his dear sannyas disciples had left. He even sent his danda in the mail back to Prabhupada. This particular disciple sent his danda back. So Prabhupada was really upset, but he's giving us the principle that you shouldn't give up the fight. It's okay if you have to change your ashram and so you can get more strength, it's okay. Prabhupada was very, very liberal in this with his disciples. So he's saying if you get wounded in the fight, you find some place where you can continue fighting. So Buryajan gives us two ways to go in Krishna consciousness. You can surrender very strongly and you can make very rapid progress, or you can stay in your position and hear about Krishna, more gradual, but maybe more natural. So I have a little excerpt here from My Glorious Master by Buryajan. And he's asking, what pleased Prabhupada? My analysis is the essential ingredient in pleasing Prabhupada was what? How to please Prabhupada? In one word, actually, he gave.
Preach.
Preach, yeah. Chant. It's a quality. It's not an activity.
Humility.
Just think of Buryajan. Buryajan. Yes. How did you get it? Just see. Steadiness. Steadiness is the quality. He's very steady. Buryajan is so steady. He said, when I could not remain in Hong Kong, I nevertheless was able to satisfy him by steadily, week after week, rendering service by sending donations. Prabhupada's basic desire for his disciples was that they serve steadily. So this is actually what we want to do. A few years ago, my son Govinda said to me, at that time he had very strong faith. He said, if Prabhupada told me to jump off the roof, I would do it. I said, yeah, well, he tells you to chant 16 rounds. Why don't you do that? That we can't do. Only, drastic, something dramatic, something crazy we can do, but something like chanting Hare Krishna every day, that is impossible. So the steadiness, this is what we want. Ultimately, steady service elevates one. Buryajan, steady service will be more pleasing to our spiritual master than glowing but fleeting service, which shines brightly like a shooting star and then quickly becomes extinguished and disappears. So we had many shooting stars in our movement. One devotee's requirements to continue serving may be different from that of another. Then he talks about this purport where Prabhupada underscores the point one should situate himself in a position where he can most steadily continue his devotional service and cultivate Krishna consciousness. So I have a letter here to one sannyasi who wanted to become grihastha. And here's Prabhupada's reply to him. I know you are intelligent and can act very nicely to help spread Krishna consciousness. If you feel maya attracting, then live an honest life as a householder and contribute to our movement. As a family man, you can join Srup Damodar to help with Bhaktivedanta Institute. Because this devotee, he had gone to college, and then just before graduation, he didn't take his degree and he left and became a devotee. He's a very educated person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it doesn't matter whether one is a sannyasi, grihastha, brahmana, or shudra. You have intelligence. Study more and more. If you think you should be married, do that and assist Bhaktivedanta Institute by giving service. My request is, don't become an ordinary foolish man. Keep Krishna consciousness in any condition of life. That is success. So we'll read a few more verses and then we'll read about this sannyasi who Prabhupada was talking about. Verse 31. When the king of the elephants saw he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of providence, and being embodied and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from danger, he was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. We'll go to the end of the purport. The king of the elephants, in his condition of danger, decided to seek shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. After considerable thought, he intelligently arrived at this correct decision. Such a decision is not reached by a sinful man. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said, those who are pious, Sukriti, can decide that in a dangerous or awkward condition, one should seek shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Which verse is that? Which Prabhupada is referring to here? The pious people. Raise your hands. Yes? Yesham tantakatam papam jananam punikarmanam mandanoha nirmikta vajanti mam jajavita. Any other verses? Yes. Chaturvita vajanti mam jana sukritin orjana. So which type of the four kinds of pious people is Gajendra? He's an example, actually.
Distress.
Yes. Arta. He's in distress. So we have to, Burijan again and again, he says in all his classes, that you have to watch where your mind goes when something happens to you. Just watch. Like if somebody steals your wallet or somebody does something to you, what is your reaction, immediate reaction? Anger, distress, why does this happen to me, etc., etc. So we have to see where our mind goes. So his mind, finally, after 1,000 years, went to Krishna. So it shouldn't take us 1,000 years because we don't have 1,000 years. It should just take us a few seconds that we realize that we don't have any shelter except Krishna. The 32. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile. Therefore, I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities. Purport. This material world is described as padam padam yad vipram, which means that at every step there is danger. A fool wrongly thinks he is happy in this material world, but in fact, he is not, for one who thinks that way is only illusioned. At every step, at every moment, there is danger. In modern civilization, one thinks that if he has a nice home and a nice car, his life is perfect. In the Western countries, especially in America, it is very nice to possess a good car. But as soon as one is on the road, there is danger, because at any moment, an accident may take place and one will be killed. There was one person who was running for president of the United States, and in his election, his promise was that if I am elected, I will give you two cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot. So that was his election platform, that I will, now you have one car, I will give you two cars. So that was, I don't know if he got elected or not, but anyway, that was what he said. But Prabhupada says, yes, they have such a nice car, but nobody thinks today when I go in my car I will have an accident and die. They don't think. But there is danger. The record actually shows that so many people die in such accidents. Therefore, if we actually think that this material world is a very happy place, this is our ignorance. Real knowledge is that this material world is full of danger. We may struggle for existence as far as our intelligence allows and may try to take care of ourselves. But unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna ultimately saves us from danger, our attempts will be useless. Therefore, remember Prahlad Maharaj. He says, Balasyaneha sharanam vitaro nishinha natasya chagaram udam vati marchito nam taptasya tapati vityat han chasestas We may invent so many ways to be happy or to counteract the dangers of this material world, but unless our attempts are sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will never make us happy. Those who try to be happy without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are mudas, rascals. Namam duskitino mudha prapadyante naradama. Those who are the lowest of men refuse to take Krishna consciousness because they think they'll be able to protect themselves without Krishna's care. This is their mistake. The decision of the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was correct. In such a dangerous position, he sought shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says that people, they think they can take care of themselves. So what is it that they have that makes them think they can take care of themselves. Yes?
Intelligence?
Bank account, yes, which we don't have. Yes, relatives, bank account, yes. Pride, they're very proud, yes. False ego.
Strength.
Yes, all the opulences. Education. Beauty. And in this world it's true, if you have these things, you can actually get ahead. But this is their mistake. They cannot protect themselves without Krishna's care. So Burijan says, this is good news. We should wake up to these facts about the material world and hear the real good news of the spiritual world. There is good news, but it's not in this world. Here is only bad news. If you like this world, then it's bad news. If you want to be successful here, then it's bad news. So all we have to do is very easy. Just take shelter of Krishna in danger, right? Very easy? No, sometimes our mind rebels. No, I have little money here. I can ask this person. I can do this. I can do that. Especially if you have intelligence, you think of so many ways to solve your problems without depending on Krishna. So yes, we have to practice taking shelter of Krishna in all different difficult circumstances. So there is a verse from Mukunda Mala Stotra. Verse 11. It says, the people in this vast ocean of birth and death are being blown about by the winds of material dualities as they flounder in the perilous waters of sense indulgence with no boat to help them. They are sorely distressed by the need to protect their sons, daughters, and wives. Only the boat that is Lord Vishnu can save them. So the purport, materialists sometimes philosophize that dualities like heat and cold provide an interesting variety or spice to life. Yes, they want to be the hero, Prabhupada said in one purport, they want to be the hero of the material world. So they like when there's, they create their own obstacles so they can be the hero and succeed against all odds. In truth, however, although we may romanticize about life in this temporary world of duality, its main quality is misery. We meet things we don't want, we're separated from things we love. So this is going on in the material world. We've heard so much news in the fifth canto. What is it called in the fifth canto? What is the material world called? Forest of material enjoyment. Forest, it's a jungle. And there's all these different crickets and tigers. And well, who are these tigers? Remember who the tigers are? They are, yes.
In the forest of material enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
That's
wife. Oh, they're jackals. Wife and children are jackals.
Like,
oh, yeah, that, okay. Oh, the children are jackals. Oh, you remember this point. You have experience? Yes. Yes, our grihasthas have experience sometimes of these points. Yes. Also, the false gurus are false gurus. Yes, lions, false gurus. And sometimes you jump and he's in the forest and he's running and he falls into a well that's dry with no water and he breaks his bones. So these things, this is happening in the material world. What else? Okay, material world is a forest. What else is the material world compared to? Let's
Samsara,
a burning forest fire. Not only a forest, it's burning forest fire. And you cannot get out of it. Actually, it's described, we're just like snakes. And the snake cannot get out of the forest fire. No, only one way to get relief from the forest fire. What is that way? Yes? No? Rain, yes, rain cloud. Mercy of the spiritual master who gives us, he's giving us Srimad Bhagavatam. This is our relief. This is our solace in this material world. What else is the material world compared to? Yes, Dhammak. A dream, okay. Bad dream. For devotees, yes, Aniprush.
An ocean,
okay, we're swimming, we're struggling to keep ourselves afloat in the ocean.
Of
material existence. Bhava, yes, bhava. What else is the material world compared to? Anything else? Yes?
A reflection.
A reflection, okay. A reflection of reality. A dream, a reflection, yes?
Water in a calf's
hoofprint. That's for a devotee, yes. Adipurush.
A black hole.
A black hole. The scientists say that?
We discussed in the fifth canto.
In the Snarada Spiritual
Oh, right.
We discussed the black hole.
A black hole. Wow, maybe that's where the scientists got it from. That's a black hole, okay.
Bilba.
Yes, Janmashtami.
Prison.
Yes. How can you be happy in prison? Even if you get a very nice place to stay in the prison, how can you be happy there? Because you'll be punished. It's only the first punishment is the material body we heard yesterday. Yes.
Desert.
Desert. A mirage in the desert. It's like, yes.
A
what?
A
road
inn. Road? Hotel.
Oh, a hotel. Okay. Hotel. Yeah, we only stay here temporarily. Yes.
Cocoon.
Cocoon. Okay, what else? Yes?
Airport.
Airport. Yes? It's like an airport. Yes.
Whirlpool.
A what? Whirlpool. Yeah, whirlpool. Second canto. It's like a whirlpool, and you try to, you stick your head, you're not in the whirlpool, you stick your hand in to get something, and you get pulled in into the whirlpool. Yes. So, we should remember these points before we think of trying to enjoy something in this material world. Remember all the, what is the material world? And what is this that's trying to attract me to enjoy in this world? It's only the promise of happiness, but no real happiness. Just promise. Yes, in the future. In the future you will be happy, but not now. And even in the future you won't. So verse 33. Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful in force, endlessly chases everyone, ready to swallow him, if one who fears the serpent seeks shelter of the Lord gives him protection, for even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him the great and powerful Supreme Authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone. So the serpent, so this is what people don't see, is the serpent of death behind him, the serpent of time, Kala Sarpa. Kala Sarpa is chasing everyone, but we don't see. In purport, one who is intelligent understands there is a great and supreme authority above everything. That great authority appears in different incarnations to save the innocent from disturbances, confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord appears in his various incarnations for two purposes, to annihilate the duskriti, the sinful, and to protect his devotees. The king of the elephants decided to surrender unto him. This is intelligent. So we should also come to this decision, because we've struggled enough in this material world trying to take care of ourselves. But no, we haven't struggled enough. So therefore we do not surrender to Krishna. We have to surrender. One must know that great Supreme Personality of God and surrender unto him. The Lord comes personally to instruct us how to be happy, and only fools and rascals do not see by intelligence the Supreme Authority, the Supreme Person. Nishuti Mantra is said, Vishashma Vata Pavate Vishadeti Surya Vishashma Ragnis Chandrasya Mrityutavati Panchama. It is out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the wind is blowing, the sun is distributing heat and light, and that death is chasing everyone. Thus there is a Supreme Controller, as confirmed Bhagavad Gita. Mayadyakshen prakriti siryate sacharacharam. This material manifestation is working so well because of the Supreme Controller. Any intelligent person, therefore, can understand that there is a Supreme Controller. Furthermore, the Supreme Controller himself appears as Lord Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as Lord Ramachandra, to give us instructions and to show us by example how to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, Prabhupada is mentioning the most important incarnations for us, Lord Ram, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Krishna. These are our incarnations. Again, Prabhupada is mentioning, yet those who are duskriti, the lowest of men, do not surrender. Namam duskritino muta papadyam te naradamaha. So now we'll go to the end of the purport. We'll skip. And Prabhupada says, everyone should fear death because everyone is caught by the crocodile of eternal time and may die at any moment. So did you know that? You think you're free, but we're all caught. The crocodile is catching all of us by the foot, and we don't realize it. The best course, therefore, is to seek shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be safe from the struggle for existence in this material world, in which one repeatedly takes birth and dies. To reach this understanding is the ultimate goal of life. So I have a nice quote here also about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since Prabhupada mentions Lord Chaitanya in the purport, that actually, and there is a beautiful verse, and this is in Madhya 9, first verse in Madhya 9, ninth chapter of Madhya Lila. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted the inhabitants of South India. These people were as strong as elephants, but they were in the clutches of the crocodiles of various philosophies, such as Buddhist, Jain, and Mayavad philosophies. With his disc of mercy, the Lord delivered them all by converting them into Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. A beautiful verse with reference. So not only was Gajendra saved from the hands of the crocodile, all the people of South India were saved by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were as strong as crocodiles, but they were caught. They were as strong as elephants, but they were caught by the crocodiles of these different philosophies. And so many people in India and all over the world are now being caught by these crocodiles of different philosophies. So we have to go and save them. As Prabhupada was urging us in all the purports yesterday, we have to go save all the people of the world. So purport of this Madhya Lila verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is converting the people of South India into Vaishnavas, as compared herein to Lord Vishnu's delivering Gajendra the elephant from the attack of a crocodile. When Lord Chaitanya visited southern India, almost all the residents were within the jaws of the crocodiles of Buddhist, Jain, and Mayavad philosophy. Here Kaviraj Goswami states that although these people were as strong as elephants, they were almost in the clutches of death because they were being attacked by the crocodiles of various philosophies. However, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Vishnu saved the elephant Gajendra from the clutches of a crocodile, so he saved all the people of South India from the clutches of various philosophies by converting them into Vaishnavas. So now in South India, it's mostly Vaishnava, I think. It's mostly, we have our Vanamali Prabhu and Sri Rangam. So a lot of Vaishnavas in South India. So Lord Chaitanya saved them all. So I have a little quote from Prabhupada Lilamrita about this. What was happening when Prabhupada wrote this purport? Prabhupada said his godbrother's main argument against Westerners taking sannyas that they won't be able to maintain the strict vows. So it seems his godbrothers were right. Prabhupada said a German godbrother of his had also caused disruption by his intimate dealings with women. What can I do? Prabhupada said sadly. I'm working with all third-class men, fools and rascals. Things are going on simply by Krishna's mercy. Now, one time he was telling the hippies, you know, you can't do anything. Your minds are all finished because of all the drugs you took. He says, only because you're chanting Hare Krishna, that's how things are going on. So otherwise, it's not possible. So, but if you chant Hare Krishna, then you can go beyond your conditioning. So Prabhupada sent a telegram asking this devotee who left him to come and speak with him. Although Prabhupada restrained his emotions, the devotees could see he was distracted. It was another case of a strong affectionate bond for a son who had rendered wonderful service, a disciple whom he had patiently trained over the years. Again, the possibility of Prabhupada's retiring from active management looked doubtful. Prabhupada said he was trying to engage fools, rascals, anyone to spread Krishna consciousness, and that's what Prabhupada did. He just took anyone off the street, whoever would chant, and he made them devotees. Anyone who would listen, anyone who would follow. And he was unable to find strict followers, but what could be done? If someone fell for sannyas, he said, then that person could become grihastha, but no one should go away. So Harisari mentioned to Prabhupada the story of, what about Lord Chaitanya and Chota Haridas? From that story, it appears very difficult for a fallen sannyasi to regain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada said, one who falls from sannyas is called vantasi, one who vomits and eats it. So Harisari said, so if they become grihasthas again, then how can they get Lord Chaitanya's mercy? That's interesting, Harisari is asking, because he also did that. And he's asking, so what does Prabhupada say? If they become grihastha again, how can they get Lord Chaitanya's mercy? So what's the answer to that? What is the way? Yes?
Guru Prasad.
Exactly. Guru Prasad. Prabhupada said, if the spiritual master gives that facility and makes that arrangement, then Krishna will accept the arrangement. So Prabhupada gave that facility and made that arrangement so that everybody could serve Krishna no matter what condition he was in, or even if he fell down, Prabhupada would take him back. And Prabhupada said, and later he can again become sannyas.
He wanted to get three times.
Huh?
He gets 3 times to one individual.
3 times?
To one particular individual?
I don't know. 3 times sannyas? I don't remember that. Huh? So, well, I don't know. I don't remember. 3 times? Wow. Damashmi.
In that, the research that was done in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita was, that wasn't included in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, it was included in, a 7th or 8th volume called the Prabhupada Lila. And there was a description of the first...
Oh, the first one. Oh, yeah, Hanuman?
Hanuman.
Yeah.
And he was preaching in Mexico.
Yes.
Yes. And then Prabhupada came to visit there after he fell down.
Mm-hmm.
And Hanuman came to him and he said that, now Prabhupada, I've taken a wife. And Lord Chaitanya kept Chota Haridas away from looking lustfully at a woman.
So Hanuman, okay, I'll just say it so that the people on the CD can get the benefit. So Janamashtami is telling us an incident from Prabhupada Nectar, it is?
Prabhupada Lila,
okay. Where one devotee, Hanuman, he took sannyas and later got married. Then Prabhupada went to visit the Mexico where he was, and he said to Prabhupada that I've taken a wife now, what to do?
No, then he said that Lord Chaitanya kicked away.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya kicked out Chota Haridas.
So what will you do with me? And Prabhupada said, well, Lord Chaitanya is God.
He said, Lord Chaitanya is God.
I'm just God's servant.
I'm just his servant. And I need all the help I can get. So he encouraged him just to serve in that way. So that was Prabhupada's mercy.
Whatever happened?
He does post it. Last I know, he does hypnotic regressions. He's a certified hypnotic regressioner or whatever. And he's living in Vancouver. That was about 15 years ago.
Okay.
He had quite a large family.
Okay, so there is hope. Don't give up hope, even if you fall down. Prabhupada has given facility for everyone to do service for Krishna. So then Prabhupada, here in Lilamrita, Prabhupada mentioned a few cases where he had asked fallen sannyasis to get married and stay in their service. He said, of course it is a shameful position, but what can be done? My godbrothers and sannyasis in India criticized me for giving Brahman and sannyas initiation, installing deities in the West, allowing women to stay in temples. But for all that, I'm expanding Krishna consciousness. And for all their strictness, they are doing nothing. If I discriminate, then I will again become one alone, as I was in Vrindavan, and again become mouse. It seems, said Harisari, it will take several generations before we can become purified. And we always hear the saying, third generation is going to be all the pure devotees. The Prabhupada said, if one is sincere, he can become purified even within one generation. He was always saying, this life. Why you want to wait for a next life? This life you become, you go back to Godhead. That same evening, as Prabhupada prepared to stay up all night translating, he was still thinking of this devotee. And he turned to translating the text in this chapter, Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. So here I have from Prabhupada's memories, the actual devotee who fell down. What he's in his remembrance. Near the end of Srila Prabhupada's life, he was sick in bed in Vrindavan. I had let my hair grow longer, When we arrived in Delhi, I thought, well, I can't see Prabhupada like this, so I shaved up and had a big, long sikha. Actually, he had long, down to his waist, at least. When I walked in Prabhupada's room, there was a very sober mood. It was dark, as everything was subdued, and the devotees were morose and quiet. It's just before he left his body. They said, Prabhupada, this devotee has arrived. Prabhupada sat up in his bed. I paid my obeisances, and the first thing Prabhupada said was, wow, look at him, he has maintained such a nice sikha. He chuckled, knowing that I hadn't maintained such a nice sikha. I had just shaved up in the Delhi train station. The second thing he said was, where's your wife? You see, I had left Srila Prabhupada. I was a sannyasi, then I left and got married. And that's not the way you should do it. But Srila Prabhupada shrugged it off. It was immaterial to him. He wanted to know where my wife was. Not that, why have you gotten married? Why have you done this? He wanted to know, where is she? He was fully aware I was married and had a child, and he wanted to see my wife. I said, well, Prabhupada, she just had her first baby, and she really doesn't want to travel. He said, that's right, she shouldn't travel. But is she feeling okay? I said, yes, she's feeling good. Prabhupada said, and you had a son? He said, yes, Prabhupada. I had a son, and I named him Abhaycharan. Is that all right? So then Prabhupada went on to explain this purport of Bhagavatam. The elephant is very mighty and strong, but when he enters the water, he becomes victimized by the crocodile because he's not in his proper atmosphere. If he's on the land, he can crush the crocodile, but because he's in the water, he's at the mercy of the crocodile. Similarly, we may be situated in the wrong atmosphere for executing Krishna consciousness. We must put ourselves in the right atmosphere, and then we can execute Krishna consciousness with all strength and vigor. You are a sannyasi, now you're a householder. That doesn't make any difference. The proper thing is to just go on with your Krishna consciousness. Execute it. If you can't execute it, if you're becoming weak, by artificially embracing sannyas order, you must take another order to become strong again. That is all right. Most important thing is not to leave the association of devotees and to continue with Krishna consciousness. So then devotee says, he made me feel so good. It was very enlivening and personal to be with Prabhupada in those last days. So that was Prabhupada's, the way he handled it. I don't know if I should mention any names. Anyway, it was... yeah, Madhavisa. And so he was... very, very few, actually, not so many fell down when Prabhupada was here, after Prabhupada left, and it was very difficult. When I was in... I guess I shouldn't tell this joke. Anyway, I'll tell it anyway. There was a Chutananda Maharaj. He was in Calcutta, and he was always joking. And he had a saying. He said, all sannyasis should wait 2 years before getting married. That was his saying. Anyway, he was very funny, sannyasi. He didn't get married, but he left. Anyway. Yeah. What to do? So that was in 1974 he made that joke. So Vyasaki, he's our godbrother, he asked Prabhupada once, what is accidental fall down? Because Prabhupada was discussing apichetsaracharo, you know, accidental. So he asked, if it's an accidental fall down, then Krishna considers him saintly. But if it's premeditated, then that's different. It's sinning in knowledge. So how do we know if the fall down is accidental? So what's the answer to that?
When he comes back,
yes.
It is not accidental.
If the devotee comes back, it was accidental.
It was accidental.
If he doesn't come back, then it's premeditated. So you get the mercy. So Prabhupada was speaking in one morning walk in Bombay. He said, you live in the water and fight with a crocodile is not a very good position. So there are so many crocodiles, how long you'll fight with them like that? You chant Hare Krishna. We have no difficulty chanting and working at the same time. I said, this was Prabhupada's mercy on his devotees. So we have to understand the principles. The higher principle in this case is not to go away, to continue the fight. Even higher than falling from sannyas is the principle of staying in the association of devotees and not going away. So that was the principle that Prabhupada is showing us here by his behavior with his disciples. And so if Prabhupada can be merciful, then so can we. Any questions or comments on these verses? Damashmi?
I heard an analysis that was given by a sannyasi that's current in his family now, that why during Prabhupada's time, so many devotees were able to maintain sannyas.
Yes, yes. During Prabhupada's time, so many devotees, they will not only maintain sannyas, maintain grihastha, maintain vanaprastha, maintain everything. Even grihastha, nobody, hardly grihasthas were there.
So, there's this Vapu association that's inspired so much renunciation. And then even those that weren't able to maintain it, they were able to do wonderful things in Prabhupada's presence.
Yeah, in Prabhupada's presence, it was easy. Easy to do. Made difficult things easy to do. And now it's, we have to find Prabhupada. We have to search for his presence. It's not so accessible, so easily as it was in that time. He's accessible, but you have to even, and Krishna consciousness movement, everything is very difficult now. Even Vrindavan. You could see Vrindavan, you just walk here in 1972, it was peacocks everywhere, and it was really, now you have to look. You have to search, where is Vrindavan, where is Prabhupada, where is ISKCON? Yes, okay. So you asked the sannyasi if he still had sexual desires. And the sannyasi answered, yes, but now it's different, I take immediate shelter. When you're a sannyasi, you take immediate shelter of Krishna. Whereas before, you think, well, I could do something else besides taking shelter of Krishna. You have other opportunities. You think like that. You think like that. But actually, all of us should think immediate shelter. All of us should take immediate shelter of Krishna when we have that, because we all have the same problem. We're all in the crocodile's grips. And so we have to take immediate shelter. We have to learn. There's middle age crisis, and then you start thinking, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, my marriage was a failure, I should get married again, or, oh, I didn't have children, let me have children at the age of 45, it's just like, so these things happen with change of body. But actually, there's no shelter in the body, and the things that go with the body, it's only Krishna can give you shelter. And the sooner we realize that, then the happier we'll be. Sooner we surrender, as Prabhupada say, that's intelligence. Anything else? Adiprush. And then...
Is this elephant's praying a miracle, like the deer's praying when Maharaj became a deer?
Yes, it's a miracle.
Or is this the heavenly elephant, like the animals in the heavenly planets who can talk?
No. There is a verse that said how he did it is by Krishna's grace. There's a verse near the end here. It says he remembered by Krishna's grace. And that's stressed, I think, maybe even in the purport. The verse is here near the end, that by Krishna's grace. Anyway, I can't... You find the verse? Oh, verse 1 in the third chapter, okay.
Remembered by the grace of Krishna.
It was the third chapter, verse 1. He fixed his mind with perfect intelligence, chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth. It seems to be special mercy by the Lord to Gajendra. Because he was such a great devotee into Duna Maharaj. So it's like Bharat Maharaj. He got special mercy. He could remember his previous life and previous prayers. So it's not that all the elephants can talk in the heavenly planets. Obviously, he wasn't so smart. He was still into his sense gratification. And then he got bitten, and then he got the realization. He turned to the Lord, and then he got the mercy. He took shelter of the Lord, then the Lord gave him the remembrance of his previous life and the prayer. Yes? In the heavenly, it would be the heavenly... Yeah, it's Bhumandala is heavenly. Yeah, it's heavenly. It's going on in a different time frame, I would say. Yes. Yes.
No, but
don't go. Don't desire to go there. That's right.
Can enjoy it.
And even fallen devotees can go there, or devotees who have material desires, they can go there.
But
you want to change the rules?
No, I was just wondering why.
Okay. No, because there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita which will answer this question. Abrahma bhuvanaloka puna avarti. That all, from top to bottom, it's all miserable. Even heavenly, it's still, why they say there's no happiness even in the heavenly planets? Because just look, this thing happens. And we'll hear in this chapter how Indra loses his palace. We already heard in 7th canto what happened to the demigods. They had to serve Hiranyakashipu. So it's not so happy. It's not, you go to heavenly planets and still there's, you have to fight with the demons. If you're one of the demigods, you have to go to war. You have to put on your armor and fight with the demons. And then when it's time for you to leave, it's described in Mahabharata, how painful it is to leave the heavenly planets, that your garland fades, and then people look at you funny, they start looking at you, and then before you know it, your pious credits are finished, and you're out. You get eaten up by?
Rakshasas.
When you fall from heaven, then the Rakshasas eat your body. Yes, because between the heavenly planets and here, there are Rakshasas. So it's not fun to come down from the heavenly planets. And then you take birth as a grain. You come down and you become a small grain somewhere. Grain of rice, whatever. Well, he was cursed. We'll find out. No. No, he was having a good time, but then finished. He was cursed, actually. He was cursed to go there, to get that body. It's not that he went there because, well, yes, he was pious, but he was cursed to go there. It was a punishment, actually.
Elephant body,
no. That's why he's cursed. Dhammakrishi, you had a question? Comment? How do I see? More stable now? I don't think so. From my eyes? Yeah, I would see. But I think you will find that enthusiasm even now. You will find it. You just have to look for it. I don't think it's lost. I don't think anything's lost. It's just when Prabhupada was here, it was everywhere. It was, you couldn't escape. You couldn't escape the mercy. You couldn't escape long, you know, not sleeping at night, and you couldn't escape the hard work and the mercy and the renunciation. Everybody was like into it. You were, but now you can escape more easily. Yes, Jamashmi? Yeah, there was a lot of momentum after he left. It remained the same for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was helpful.
Yes, yes. You didn't have to even think. You didn't care about, you know, if you ate or you slept. It didn't even pass through your mind. Right. It's not widespread as it was
at the time. Much more individual surrender.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the same in that way. You don't have the heavy push. I mean, you have a lot more facility to go different directions. But that time, it was, if you're not in the temple, you're in Maya, pretty much.
The tendency now is that devotees will make excuses for themselves.
Yes.
So-and-so did this, so-and-so did that, and this leader did that. Therefore, I'm not surrendering. So
right.
That's quite a prominent feature.
Yeah, there is a loss of faith.
But that doesn't change.
Right. We still have to answer to Krishna at the end of our lives. How true. Even now we have to answer to Krishna.
We just have to more vigorously apply the philosophy.
Yes.
You know,
that's right.
Before, because it's difficult.
It's hard, especially you get old and you don't even feel like moving your hand or your leg and going anywhere. Everything, your body's against you. Whereas when you're young, at least you have your youth, where you can practice, you think you're like Superman or something. But now it's, yes, correct. I would agree with that perception. Any other, so I guess you're, yes, I approve?
You can see that even nowadays sometimes there is an explosion of Krishna consciousness here and there.
Yes, yes. There are still marathons going on and Yes. Explosion. Yeah. Hmm?
But they came here for a week.
Yesterday. Oh, he just came. Oh, wow, I have to meet him. Oh, yeah, I know. I went there. I went there to see him. Patri in Nepal. So give us the good news. Oh, all about. Okay, let's hear from Adi Purush.
There was a gathering of all the Hindu leaders.
Where?
In Kathmandu.
Gathering of all the Hindu leaders.
There were swamis, yogis, tantrics, babas.
Really? Tantrics, babas, swamis?
And they all spoke. Yeah,
they all spoke.
Should be Hindu. Came out and he learned Nepali already, but still.
He spoke in Nepali?
Yeah, he spoke in Nepali for 45 minutes. Shh. He really blasted them. And at the end, he says, all of these, you know, hundreds of Babas, all of them were screaming Hare Krishna, dancing, and all of them were coming and saying, yeah, all these others. You know, those speakers themselves, like, yeah, all these other Babas, they didn't speak well. You spoke well.
Yes.
Because they spoke, and then like, Krishna, Ganesh, this, that.
Yeah, all the others were just wishy-washy. Apache was heavy.
Then he came and he said, I'm surprised. You're speaking here about these subjects, and you haven't even invited the Father. You have forgotten about the Father. So they go, and then the Hambija Pradapita, Krishna is the So he has so many people joining there. They distributed thousands and thousands of books during the marathon, which was heard of, and which is the books are very expensive in for the Nepalis.
Right.
Compared to 300 rupees, and they don't.
300 rupees for wow, it's expensive.
Mahabigs. And even, he says even new bhaktas, they just joined, they were distributing 30, 40 books.
Wow. So very good.
There was something going on.
Yes. Something is going on. Yes, there is. It's very nice. It's there. Krishna consciousness is there. You just have to go and look for it. So go to Nepal, help Patri.
He's surrendering,
yes, completely. He's surrendered. He's staying in a place, a very difficult place. The government is unstable and very, very difficult. And and there's heavy preaching by, you know, bogus yogis, babajis. Very heavy, very heavy. Well, yeah, Maoist. Yeah, I was there. They would make traffic jams where they would just stop cars and burn your car or whatever. Because I was there last summer, so one day we had to wait for the car burning to stop before we could go on the main road. But it's very nice preaching. The government is unstable. The king is not in power, and now they are fighting for control of the government.
Yeah.
They're a terrorist group there, Maoist. No, that one got killed. Yeah. That was long ago. No, there's a new one, but now anyway, it's in turmoil. But Krishna consciousness is alive in Nepal. It's alive in Nepal. Yes, yeah, very wonderful, wonderful preaching going on. To all the youth, he's preaching to the college students, just like Prabhupada is preaching to the youth of America. He's preaching, he learned Nepali, he's preaching in Nepali, and everybody's joining. Okay, any other questions? In comments or comments? Yes.
Regarding the Trikuta,
encyclopedia,
It doesn't mention the exact location of mm-hmm. this one, but it mentions that there is one Trikuta on Meru,
Mount Meru,
and the other one on Lanka.
Lanka, yeah, I've got those two references.
It describes how to reconcile this. It quotes the Quranic and said a story about. Vasuki and Vayu, Vayu's argument. Vayu's argument, who is stronger?
So Vasuki and Vayu's argument, who is stronger?
So Vasuki actually tried to embrace this Trikuta.
Vasuki tried to embrace Trikuta.
And then Vayu blew him away.
Vayu blew him away.
So he broke off that piece and it fell.
He broke off the piece and it fell
into Lanka.
Okay. piece of Trikut fell into Lanka, and now we have Trikut in Lanka also.
I don't know if that's the same Trikut that's described here.
Yeah, it seems to be three from my research. One, or it could be the one at the foot of Mount Meru, could be this one.
Also, it's called Trikut, means three.
Yeah, three. Because
the
three
mana,
the three peaks.
There are more than one Milkoceans.
Mm. Yeah, there's more than one Milk Ocean.
It's not in Bhumandala. It's
outside. This one appears to be in Bhumandala. According to Sataputta, it's in Bhumandala. And that would also be according to that reference from 5th Canto that at the foot of Mount Meru there is a Trikut. It means in the foothills. Jambudweep is like the, or around there. Kramchudweep, it's around Mount Meru. Any other questions? Or comments? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.